Thank you, operator. Our objective today is to provide you with an update on NorthStar Healthcare's operations and its financial performance for the quarter ended March 31, 2021. Please note, while there is no supplemental presentation for today, we do encourage you to review our publicly filed reports and statements. Before we begin, I want to remind you that we will be making forward-looking statements in our comments concerning our expectations regarding our disposition, financing, and investment plans, our expectations regarding the continuing impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our business, and our expectations regarding our future financial position, results of operations, and distribution and share repurchase policies. These forward-looking statements are based on NorthStar Healthcare's current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially, including the risks listed in our Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2020, and in our Form 10-Q for the quarter ended March 31, 2021. We undertake no obligation to update our forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances, and you should not assume that the comments we make today are valid in the future. In addition, references may be made during this call to non-GAAP financial results. Investors are encouraged to review these non-GAAP financial measures, as well as the explanation and reconciliation of these measures to the comparable GAAP results included in our SEC filings. Our SEC filings can also be accessed in the investor relations section of our website at www.northstarhealthcarereit.com. With that, let me turn the call over to Rich Welsh, Chairman of NorthStar Healthcare and Head of Healthcare for Colony Capital.
Thank you, Anne. We appreciate everybody joining the call today. Before we begin, we hope that you, your families, friends, and colleagues have remained safe and healthy. We continue to express our sincere gratitude to the entire healthcare community, including our managers, operators, and their staff, for continuing to navigate, persevere, and adapt to the challenges that our business has endured throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Individually and collectively, our top priority has been and continues to be the health, safety, and well-being of our residents, patients, and staff. We remain optimistic that the ongoing efforts to distribute and provide vaccinations across the country, as well as the globe, will ultimately reduce the spread and impact of COVID-19 on our communities, as well as restore our lives to some form of normalcy. I state unequivocally that the entire management team of NorthStar Healthcare has worked tirelessly and remained 100% focused on managing our portfolio of investments in order to mitigate the financial impact of COVID-19, not only preserve, but also create long-term value for NorthStar Healthcare shareholders. While it is difficult to predict future results and the impact our initiatives will have on future financial performance, we continue to proactively respond to these ever-changing economic conditions and appreciate your continued patience and support. As we look towards the post-pandemic operating and investment environment, we continue to believe in the long-term strength of the senior living and skilled nursing businesses. Joining me for this presentation are Ron Janot, CEO, and Neil Reddington, CFO of NorthStar Healthcare. We would like to introduce and welcome Neil to the management team of NorthStar Healthcare. Neil also currently serves as the CFO of Colony Capital's non-digital assets and was Chief Accounting Officer of Colony Capital from 2008 to 2020. In addition, we would like to personally, as well as collectively, thank Frank Saracino for his many contributions to NorthStar Healthcare. Frank was appointed NorthStar Healthcare's CFO in 2015 and resigned from his position in April 2021 in order to focus full-time on his role of Chief Financial Officer at Colony Credit Real Estate. Frank's leadership and insights were integral to NorthStar Healthcare's operation during these challenging times. We're also pleased to announce the addition of John Carnella as an independent director of NorthStar Healthcare's board of directors. From May 2013 through December 2020, John served as president and CEO, chief executive officer, a DiversiCare, Canada, a group of privately held entities that own and operate senior housing residences and currently serves as a member of the board of entities that comprise the business. Both John and Neil bring a wealth of knowledge and industry expertise to North Star Healthcare and will be excellent resources and valuable contributions to further implement and execute our key initiatives to maximize shareholder value. With that, I will now turn the presentation over to Ron.
Thanks, Rich. To echo Rich's sentiments, we hope that you and your families are safe and healthy, and we continue to express our sincere gratitude to the healthcare community for their extraordinary efforts during these unprecedented times. We continue to support our managers and operators as they navigate the challenges surrounding testing and vaccine implementation, all while managing day-to-day operations. I'd like to address the state of our seniors housing business, our ongoing efforts to improve operating results, and give an update on our key initiatives. Neil will then present North Star Healthcare's financial results along with recent investment-related activity. We are continuing to adjust asset and portfolio-level initiatives and business practices to address the ever-changing market, operating conditions, and an attempt to manage risk and maximize value. We are cautiously optimistic that we are seeing signals of improvement in our seniors housing business. While it is far too early to signal an all-clear sign, as future resurgence of the COVID-19 virus cannot be ruled out, we're pleased to report that move-ins at our facilities in 2021 have steadily improved and prevention-related costs are lower. Looking forward, the key to our recovery is the return of sustained occupancy growth. Our business is dependent on new residents moving in and fewer residents moving out. In the first quarter of 2021, we continued to experience higher move-outs than move-ins. Move-outs and resulting turnover percentage ran high during the pandemic and continued into Q1 2021. Move-ins ended Q4 and started Q1 at historically low levels for our direct investments due to the impact of the second wave of COVID-19. But since then, and in March 2021, we saw the first month of move-ins closest to a pre-pandemic average. And indications are that April move-ins have continued along that trend. As a result, average quarterly occupancy across our direct investments declined from approximately 74.5% in Q4 2020, 72.4% as of Q1 2021. The 2% decline in our direct investments occupancy is consistent with what overall seniors housing industry has experienced quarter over quarter. As reported by the National Investment Center for Seniors Housing and Care, or NIC, from Q4 2020 to Q1 2021, seniors housing occupancy declined 1.8%. But despite quarter over quarter decline in occupancy, there is room for optimism as we are able to report that our direct investments had positive absorption in April 2021, ending the month with an average occupancy of 72.8%, an increase from March average occupancy of 71.8%. While again, it is early to declare this a trend, signs for recovery in our business continue to emerge. The widespread distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine continues to be one of the most critical components for our communities. To date, approximately 85% of the communities in our direct investment have hosted on-site vaccination clinics, the majority of which have now hosted or scheduled multiple clinic days. Resident acceptance rate at our communities has been high, over 90% with our direct investments, and our managers and operators continue to educate and incentivize both residents and staff to maximize participation. With individuals and families delaying their decisions to enter seniors housing during the height of the pandemic, we are seeing increased demand that may lead to a consistent trend of higher move-ins at our communities as seasonal weather conditions improve and continued implementation of COVID-19 vaccines continue to result in less preventative restrictions and restore confidence in the industry. One of our key initiatives in 2021 is to improve our assets to better prepare them for the future when healthcare markets find a new level of normalcy. With input and guidance from our managers and operators, we've developed tailored capital expenditure plans for each individual community for 2021, which are currently being rolled out. For the quarter ended March 31, 2021, we have deployed $2.4 million towards capital improvement projects, with the plan to increase quarterly spending throughout 2021. Maintaining and improving the appearance and attractiveness of our facilities and communities will be critical in what will be a very competitive market in the post-pandemic landscape. We believe targeted improvement to our facilities will be essential to converting our lead base into move-ins while meeting the expectations of our existing residents, both of which will drive occupancy and performance. The impact of COVID-19 has created historically low occupancy for the seniors housing and skilled nursing industry. This in turn has increased open inventory, meaning that the number of available beds in our assets, their relative markets, and the industry have increased precipitously. This has created rate pressure as our competitors work to fill open beds. We believe this will continue for the foreseeable future until occupancy finds better footing and at a higher level. And further, as reported by NIC, new seniors housing inventory growth slowed to 2.8% in Q1 2021 as construction as a percentage of inventory declined to 4.9% across seniors housing sectors. Declining construction starts and less new supply coming online will have a mild offset to the aforementioned open inventory pressures. In summary, Q1 2021 occupancy and operating results were generally in line with our expectations, and our expectations for overall operating performance in 2021 remain unchanged. We're encouraged by the progress being made on vaccinations and are hopeful that once preventative restrictions are lifted and public confidence begins to restore, our communities will experience an uptick in occupancy and financial performance to better position us for the second half of 2021 and beyond. I'd now like to hand the presentation over to Neil Reddington, our new Chief Financial Officer, who we warmly welcome to the company, to provide an overview of NorthStar Healthcare's financial performance. Neil?
Thanks, Ron. Before we discuss the operating performance of NorthStar Healthcare, I would like to highlight recent transactions and events that have improved our liquidity position and will impact future financial performance. First, we previously announced an amendment to our mezzanine loan debt investment, extending the maturity of the loan by 1 year to January 2022. As a reminder, the mezzanine loan is secured by a portfolio of net lease skilled nursing facilities owned by a joint venture, in which we also have a minority ownership interest. I'm pleased to report that the borrower has made principal payments in 2021 totaling $46.6 million. From asset sales proceeds and operating cash flows, and the loan currently has an outstanding balance of $27.7 million. These principal payments have further enhanced NorthStar Healthcare's liquidity position and will enable the company to pursue other financial and operational initiatives in 2021. Second, in March 2021, we completed the sale of a property in our ACRA portfolio. This sale successfully disposed of a negative yielding asset and delevered our direct investment portfolio by repaying the $20 million mortgage note collateralized by the property. After repayment of the mortgage loan, net proceeds from the sale totaled approximately $0.9 million. The company recognized a gain on the sale of the property totaling $7.5 million. And third, in January 2021, we refinanced an existing $18.7 million note payable, collateralized by a property within the ACRA portfolio, with a $26 million mortgage note payable. The transaction generated approximately $6.5 million in net proceeds to the company. The new mortgage note carries a lower fixed interest rate of 3% and has an initial maturity of February 2026. Further, in April 2021, we extended the maturity of a $12.8 million mortgage note collateralized by a property in the Rochester portfolio. The extension of the loan required a principal paydown of approximately $1 million, and with this extension, NorthStar Healthcare has no upcoming debt maturities for the remainder of 2021. We have and will continue to evaluate strategic dispositions and additional sources of capital to enhance our liquidity and better position the company. As stated in our offering documents, the board will begin to consider liquidation options for North Star Healthcare 5 years after the completion of its offering, which elapsed in January 2021. While there is no stated or required timeline for liquidation, we do anticipate that our board will continue to review opportunities to maximize shareholder value and overall returns, and that management will continue to operate North Star Healthcare accordingly. However, at this time, we have no time estimate for when a liquidity event may occur. In light of the company's capital needs, we continue to believe it is in the best interests of our shareholders to keep distributions and the share repurchase program suspended at this time. Our board regularly reassesses North Star Healthcare's distribution and share repurchase policies, and there can be no assurance that distributions will be declared in any future periods or at any particular rate, or that the share repurchase program will be reinstated. Next, I would like to present the company's financial results for the quarter ended March 31, 2020. North Star Healthcare generates net operating income and rental income from its direct investment properties, interest from its debt investment, and recognizes its share of earnings from its investments in unconsolidated ventures. Approximately 77% of our directly owned real estate are operating properties directly exposed to various operational risks exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, including suboptimal occupancy levels, rate pressure, and increased labor costs. On a same-store basis, rental and resident fee income, net of property operating expenses for our direct operating investments, decreased to $14.7 million for the quarter ended March 31, 2021, as compared to $15 million for the quarter ended December 31, 2020. The company was able to realize cost savings in Q1 2021 as COVID-19 related expenses for the communities in our direct operating investments declined to approximately $1.8 million as compared to $2.8 million in Q4 2020. While the magnitude of these expenses has declined, we expect these expenses will continue to be incurred throughout 2021. In addition, we received and recognized approximately $7.4 million in COVID-19 provider relief fund income under the CARES Act for facilities in our direct operating portfolio that provide assisted living services. These funds have helped to offset the additional costs that have been and continue to be incurred as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, such as personal protective equipment and additional staffing. The operators of our net lease investments have been impacted by the same COVID-19 factors, which continue to affect their ability to pay rent. During Q1 2021, the operator of our Arbors portfolio failed to remit rent and satisfy other lease conditions. As a result, we're no longer accruing contractual rent, but have switched to recognizing rent from the Arbors portfolio on a cash basis during the period. This resulted in a $1.6 million decline in rental income from the portfolio quarter over quarter. Further, we wrote off straight-line rent receivables related to the Arbors lease, which totaled a $7.4 million charge against net income. We expect rent collections from the Arbors portfolio to be lower than contractually required amounts in the future. The operator of our Smyrna net leased property failed to remit rental payments in both 2020 and 2021, and we continue to recognize no rental income for the property. In May, we executed a purchase and sale agreement for this Smyrna property with a sales price of $2 million. The operator of our Fountains net lease portfolio continued to make full contractual rental payments throughout Q1 2021, including repayment of deferred rent in accordance with a forbearance agreement executed in 2020. In April 2021, we executed a lease modification with the operator, allowing the deferral of up to $3 million of contractual rent payments over the remaining term of the lease, which will be forgiven at the expiration or earlier termination of the lease, subject to the satisfaction and compliance with certain terms and conditions. Overall, rental income recognized from our net lease portfolios totaled $6.9 million in Q1 2021, a $1.5 million decrease from Q4 2020 rental income of $8.4 million. Interest income generated by our mezzanine loan debt investment totaled $2.2 million for Q1 2021, an increase of $0.3 million from $1.9 million in Q2 2020. This was the result of the loan amendment I described earlier, which increased the fixed interest rate from 10% to 14% and established the accrual of a payment-in-kind interest based on outstanding principal balance thresholds. Although the recently amended loan agreement has increased the loan's effective interest rate, the significant paydowns noted earlier have reduced the outstanding principal of the loan, and the company will receive and recognize lower interest income in 2021 from this investment. Overall, our unconsolidated investment portfolios experienced similar operational challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic as our direct operating investments. Equity and losses recognized by the company for Q1 2021 totaled $0.9 million as compared to income of $2.3 million in Q4 2020. Equity and earnings and losses includes the company's share of depreciation, amortization, and non-cash impairment charges recorded by the unconsolidated joint ventures. Distributions from our unconsolidated investments continue to be limited by loan paydowns, capital reinvestment, and working capital needs of the joint ventures. During Q1 2021, we received distributions from our diversified US-UK unconsolidated investment totaling $0.9 million. Turning to expenses, North Star Healthcare benefited from lower interest expense in 2021 as a result of lower outstanding debt principal balances. Interest expense totaled $16 million in Q1 2021 as compared to $16.4 million in Q4 2020. The company also recorded lower asset management fee expense. Asset management fees totaled $2.8 million in Q1 2021, a $1.1 million decrease as compared to $3.9 million in Q4 of 2020. Asset management fees are calculated as a percentage of the company's estimated net asset value, or NAV, and will fluctuate consistent with the changes in the NAV. In both periods, approximately $2.5 million of the fees were paid with common stock issuances rather than cash. Q1 2021 general and administrative expenses totaled $3 million, $4.7 million lower than in Q4 2020, which totaled $7.7 million. This is primarily a result of the Q4 2020 reimbursable costs to our advisor, including estimated net asset valuation expenses and corporate insurance premiums. Overall, the GAAP loss generated by North Star Healthcare for Q1 2021 was $10.2 million, or 5 cents per share, as compared to $93.5 million, or 48 cents per share in Q4 2020. Rolling up all the aforementioned operating results in terms of modified funds from operations, or MFFO, a performance metric widely used by non-traded REITs, the company's consolidated MFFO increased by $10.7 million to $16.2 million for Q1 2021, as compared to $5.5 million for Q4 2020. Excluded from the calculation of MFFO are impairment losses recorded on real estate. North Star Healthcare recorded impairment losses totaling $0.8 million in Q1 2021 on one directly owned net lease property, as a result of a lower estimated market value. Impairment losses totaled $74.5 million in Q4 2020 for the company's directly owned investments. North Star Healthcare's unconsolidated investment joint ventures did not recognize any impairment losses in Q1 2021. North Star Healthcare used $6.7 million of net cash flows for operations during Q1 2021. The declines in occupancy and operational performance of our direct investments along with the cash payments for year-end payables to our advisor and deferred debt service from lender forbearance agreements, resulted in negative cash flows from operations in Q1 2021. Note that the deferred debt service will continue to reduce our overall cash flows throughout 2021. Finally, I'd like to update you on our leverage. As of March 31, 2021, leverage on total consolidated assets, before deducting loan loss reserves, other non-cash reserves and depreciation, was 61.6%, as compared to 61.3% as of December 31, 2020. Indirect leverage on assets other than intangibles, before deducting loan loss reserves, other non-cash reserves, and depreciation held through our unconsolidated joint ventures was 61.2% as of March 31, 2021, as compared to 60.5% as of December 31, 2020. These metrics are not based on current market value. If the market value of our properties decline, then the loan-to-value market measurements will increase. Looking beyond 2021, we have approximately $457 million of loans that mature in June 2022, which relate to our Fountains net lease and operating portfolios. We have begun evaluating these loans and remain focused on improving financial performance of these properties, which will be a key component of achieving a successful outcome. That concludes my review of North Star Healthcare's financial performance for the quarter. I'd like to turn it back to Ron for some final remarks. Ron?
Thanks, Neil. To reiterate, we are cautiously optimistic that 2021 is shaping up to be a rebound year for North Star Healthcare. We're firmly committed to doing everything we can to return North Star Healthcare to stronger performance and preserve long-term value for our shareholders. We thank you for listening and look forward to providing an update on the progress we have made along with second quarter results in August.